different situations apply to our needs, and we may all benefit from God's words. In fact, some might even quote it out of context, and it still works for them. I have a good friend of mine, actually. He argued with me over 20 years, and he's using his weapon, is using these parables. Talk to me, say, tell me, isn't it true that last still get $1? And I said, sure, that's how Bible say. He said, I don't care what is first, last, but I don't mind to be the last. I want to manage, in fact, I want to manage to be the last to get in because I want to enjoy all the things that I have in my life. He considered Christian life is a constraint. Christian life gives him too much of moral code. It's a constraint. It's not a joy. And even for this person, after 20 years, I cannot convince him, but it's the mercy of God. You know what happened to him? His spleen has been removed. He's been through 2 kidney transplants. And his kidney right now still not functioning well. He needs to go through dialysis. And he's been through 1 liver transplant. But he's still being, and the experience really tells him, even at the last minute, I told him, out in the world, you're not really enjoying the world, but it's God's mercy. In the last minute, you still have the chance to confess, to come into his kingdom. And he did it. I have other friends. They do not have this, receive such grace. They pass away. They do not have the opportunity. So I want to share with you from this parable, from particularly from the 3 conjunction, to see that these parables, even though it can be interpreted in different ways for our benefit, but God has a purpose to use this purpose, these parables. Jesus said that he wants to help us to understand the goodness of God, the generosity of the Master. There are 3 conjunctions over here. It tells us the parable is really a logical response to 2 questions raised earlier. In chapter 19, there's a young rich man. He come to ask Jesus, what good thing shall I do in order to have eternal life? And then later, Jesus' disciple, particularly Peter, he said, we have left everything to follow you. What shall we have? In both cases, their focus, even though they want to receive the kingdom of heaven, they want to have eternal life, their focus, what shall I get in the kingdom of heaven? In other words, kingdom is about me, about what I get. Jesus' response to him is very interesting. The kingdom is actually not so much about your goodness, what you would get. The kingdom, what it matter, is really about the king. What it really matters is how much do you know about the king? Do you know the king or not? Do you enjoy the king? Do you share his joy, share his heart? Let's think a little bit about the question, 1 question first. What kind of people should be in the kingdom of God? Good people, right? There's a universal saying, good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. Is that true? I think most, would agree. But the real difficult question is that the next question is that, who are the good people and how to define is good and how good is good enough? And if I extraordinary good, so good, do I get something extra? You see, these questions are, this question will help us to think that when we ask this question, when we think about good people going to heaven, what are we thinking? Are we thinking about our goodness or are we thinking about the kingdom, the quality, the king? In chapter 19, there was the rich young man, we probably quite familiar. He asked, what good thing shall I do? From the conversation, if we go into the detail, we know that this young man must have been a very good person. He has done everything according to the law, according to what is required of him. But he still has no confidence. He's still not sure, am I good enough? So he come to ask Jesus, what's more good thing I should do in order to guarantee the eternal life? Jesus told him, don't you know? Do you not know that there's only one who is good? Only God is good. Don't you know that? And this young man seems not catch the point. He's not catching the point. He continued to pursue his own goodness, his own perfection. So Jesus continued to tell him, give away all your possessions to the poor and then follow me. Sadly, this young man walked away from Jesus. No one really know what happened to him in later part. Maybe he really learned the lesson. He really followed. We don't know, but that's not the point. The point is that we have Peter next. He came asking. Actually, it's in a self-vindicative manner. We have left everything to follow you. What should we get? Jesus seems to be saying we deserve something better. And we need to understand the background of this conversation, because at that time, the 12 disciples actually were arguing among themselves. They thought if Jesus became the king, the Messiah, they certainly would be in the kingdom, of course. But the question is, who would be the greater one? Who can sit in at Jesus' right hand or left hand? So these are the kind of questions they are arguing among themselves. Jesus knows their heart. It's obvious from chapter 19, both the rich young man and the impoverished disciples, they are equally self-centered. It is about me. The kingdom of heaven seems to be about me, about what do I get. How would Jesus correct them? So this parable is very interesting. It's sandwiched between the two statements. Jesus told them the vineyard parable. How do we take the last first? When we look in the parable, we should pay attention to the unusual features and don't go into too much of the other details. Jesus frequently used very unusual feature to get the attention of his audience. The main character of here is the master and the hired laborers. The master has everything and has a right to set the wages. And he has a right to hire. The laborer actually has nothing. They have nothing but have to work for their everyday life. In those days, the life of a hired laborer is probably even worse than a slave. It's more difficult because a slave in those days, we consider slave is a difficult life. But slave in those days, they got their everyday needs be provided by the master. The master will provide what they need. But a hired laborer in those days, actually, they need to work. If they don't have work, they have nothing. They have nothing to take home. They will suffer. So these are the two contrasts of here that Jesus wants you to see. And how the hired worker looks like, if you go to Home Depot in the morning, 6 o'clock, you probably see many people there. They are just like those hired laborers in those days, Jesus' day. They are looking for the day's work. But by the end, actually going to afternoon, you probably don't see many. Go to late afternoon, no one will be staying there. But Jesus' story here actually have a very distinct feature. The master actually went out very early in the morning. And pay attention, the master went out himself. He's not sending his steward. The master, if you look at through later on, you can see he has stewards. He can send other people. But the master went out himself by his choice. He chose some to hire and set their wages. 1 denarius, what that means to you. 1 denarius in those days, it means it's good for a small family, it's the whole day's needs. So it's interesting. Is it the wages oh, it's something, it's a gift. We are going to see. The master went out 9 o'clock in the morning again, and he sees someone still there, hired them, went out noontime, went out 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he saw people there and asked them to go into the vineyard. And he simply said, I will give whatever is right for you. This question is interesting. Whatever is right for you, is right for the work or is right for your need? There's no explanation here. Simply say, whatever is right for you, I will give it to you. And the workers go in. And the story continues. The master went out 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That's where the unusual feature become more clear. You might wonder what the master is doing. No one would go to Home Depot 5 o'clock in the afternoon to hire a day's labor and give him a day's wage. It's just nonsense. In today, it's nonsense. In those days, it's nonsense. But the master went out 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and Jesus wants you pay attention to what he's saying further. Six o'clock is time to pay the wages. The real unusual features come here. The master purposely pay out the labor. He asks them, come here and pay out the last one first. In the normal way, you would just, if you really want to do something and without inciting all these unnecessary words, complaints, comments, you just want to be a good person, you just give those, whoever deserves, give them first and give the last, give them. Jesus say, do good thing, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, right? And Jesus here is doing something very different. He's saying the master purpose asks them, pay the last first. And you can see how the sentiment, how people feel. In Jewish Talmud, actually, they have a similar story, but very different ending. That tells you so unique, this parable. In Jewish Talmud, they have it's like their commentary. They have a story. Again, it's go to a field, hire labor, and the labor come in very late in the afternoon. And guess what the teaching of that saying? The teaching actually comes this. The person came very late, actually got a good wages. And the interpretation immediately followed with these words saying that because the labor came last, he did such extraordinary, exceptionally good work. So he really deserved it. So that the kind of similar setting, but I was telling the story, is all about a person's good work. And if you do good work, you deserve the pay. Here, the master is doing something so different. Jesus was telling the parable in a totally different way that really get people's attention. Jesus wanted to emphasize it's not the man's good work. The man actually, no more simply say they come in and work and they receive a day's wage and they left. In Gospel, Luke chapter 15, actually, it was written about the situation about the same time that Jesus' ministry through the Perea. Chapter 15 in Gospel of Luke, there are three consecutive stories, consecutive parables saying one major point. That is, first, they talk about a man has 100 sheep. He lost one. The man would go all the way out to seek the lost. When he found it, he would carry the lost back and then ask, oh, he said, friends and neighbor, come rejoice with me. The next parable says, a woman has 10 coins and lost one. So he would sweep through the whole house and find a coin. Once she found the coin, she invite all the neighbors, friends, and say, come to celebrate with me. Then the third story is about the prodigal son. And we are familiar with the story. When the father knew the lost son is willing to come back from a far distance. I don't know how far is far. Jesus' parable is saying that even this father, in their old tradition, a father should sit there, not running, but he said this father would run out to a far distance to receive the lost son coming back, and then would put out a great feast for celebration, celebrate the lost son. That's about the same time frame. And you can see Jesus' parable, we come back to this vineyard parable. When the workers come in early in the morning and they only receive without any complaints, and the master told them, because of my generosity, and you become envious. In Greek, actually, it's using a word. The envious means your eyes is bad. What bad means? Actually, probably better translate as your eyes is evil. Because that's the very same word. When talk about the evil, talk about Satan, we use the same word to describe them. Your eyes is evil. Because of I'm good, your eyes are evil. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about another statement, say, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, it's the same word. If your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus is using this parable to remind the people, maybe remind his disciple, maybe remind people around him, say, don't you know, there's no one is good. No one can do good to go into heaven. No one can do extraordinary good work to receive the extra credit. God knows, he knows who we are. And we are only the one to receive grace. So if the one come in 6 o'clock in the morning, know it's really the grace of God. Know God's heart. Know the master's intention. Know the master's heart. He should enjoy his day, because the vineyard, everything he can eat. He's hungry, he can eat. If he thought the scorching sun is it, we know scorching sun is good for your health. You get vitamin D from the scorching sun. You thought day's hard labor, you can think it's hard labor, you can go to the gym, do hard workout. Your thinking is totally different. When the time is about to give out the wages, you see the latecomer get the same day. Remember, a denarius is for the day's need. Everyone the same, they are all hired laborers. All the people in Home Depot, 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock, they are the same in the same boat. They need the day's wage. So if they really can share God's heart, know God's grace, know God is good, they can enjoy the whole day. They see people come in, they enjoy the working of them. They see people receiving a day's wage, they can rejoice with them. That's just like in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, Jesus' parable. If we really know God is good, then we can, in his field, we can share his joy, we can celebrate with him. And that's precisely what God wants to invite us to come into his kingdom, to share his goodness, to share his joy. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for speaking to Jesus such a particular, unique parables to help us to understand. We need to know your goodness. We need to turn our eye to know how you work, how you want to part out the grace to everyone, everyone who is willing to come into your kingdom, to really follow your word, really trust in you. Father, you want everyone to receive the same grace. Help us to see the goodness. Help us to enjoy your goodness and your joy. May your joy become our strength. We pray in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We are the recipient of the Master's generosity, and that makes me really happy, actually. Thank you. And I pray that it makes your heart really happy, and that we can be thankful for something like that. I realize that sometimes a lot of source of trouble is that our eyes have left the Master, and we're looking at the denarius and not the generosity of the Master. And that really helped me. Thank you. Let's rise together and let us worship God with joy and as recipients of His generosity, His grace.